More Idaho Matters right now. There are nearly 100 active craft breweries here in Idaho, about four times as many as in 2012. However, the industry is facing challenges. As our Troy Oppie reports, changing tastes, discerning drinkers, and rising costs have many local breweries on a financial razor's edge, and tough times are spilling into Idaho's hop fields, too.
Beer, traditionally, is four ingredients: malted barley, hops, water, and yeast. In 2016, Idaho became the second largest hop producer in the country, surpassing Oregon. Driving into southern Idaho hop country west of Boise right now, you can see towering vines of hops ready for harvest.
We're just building up supply. Smells good in here as well.
Jeff Eider is sales manager at Mill 95, the state's only hop processor just off Highway 95 between Wilder and Parma. Hops give beer its bitterness, but also floral, dank, or even fruity flavors. In one building, workers are slicing open 200-pound bales of dried hops for processing into pellets. Those get bagged and vacuum-sealed with nitrogen. Mill 95 has two football field-sized cold storage rooms on site as well. The harvest is just getting started, but it's much less hectic this year. In Idaho, hop acreage was reduced by 31%, more than any other state.
This is also another cold facility. I don't even know if we'll be using that this year because of the, you know, reduction in acreage and reduction of what we're processing this year.
That room is usually full too, Eider says. But the successes of previous years are actually part of the problem. Hops, if stored properly, can last up to 5 years. Data from the U.S. Department of Agriculture show between 175 and 193 million pounds of hops in storage each spring since 2020, the largest reserves ever.
Hopefully with some more acreage reduction that, you know, we'll see some of that parity and some of that demand meeting supply and get back into balance. I'm optimistic that that'll happen, but it may be a few years.
Just a couple miles away, Michelle Gooding Battiola of the Gooding Hop Farm says they have about 650 acres of hops this year. That's down about 40% from a peak just a few years ago. Corn, peppers, and seed crops are being grown instead, sometimes between the 18-foot-tall poles used to support hops.
You have to figure out what you can grow inside trellis if you think that it might go back into hops. But you also have to be realistic. If it's not going to go back, or maybe the trellis is old, or the ground needs to be rotated, you just need to make that decision and rip the band-aid off and move forward.
Other hop growers have pivoted to onions or potatoes, she says. Hops are perennial, and infrastructure and labor costs to change are significant. Gooding is an eighth-generation owner. Pivoting to grow other crops was new to her. But as a child, she says she remembers other tough times on the hop farm as the beer industry evolved.
Beer has changed a lot, and it's going to keep changing. I'll be 35 in a few weeks, and I feel like my group in particular has really kind of been all over the map.
They are drinking differently and drinking less. Gallup polling done last year showed weekly drinkers under the age of 35 fell from 72 to 62% since 2001. More older adults are drinking, according to that same poll, but there's also more options now. Dodds Hayden is CEO of Hayden Beverage, a distributor. He says their beer division has seen steady double-digit growth since about 2012.
Craft was certainly what gave us our big growth in the 2010s. And then, you know, the continuing craft wave and the seltzer wave really gave us our growth around that 2019-2020 time.
Seltzers, ciders, and now canned cocktails have been stealing sips from craft beer since, in Idaho and nationwide. Bart Watson is chief economist at the Brewers Association, craft beer's national trade organization.
The industry was only down low single digits last year. I think that'll be a similar number this year.
Local breweries are watching the trends closely.
There's a lot of choice. I think the brand loyalty as a whole is not as big as it once was.
Mike Francis opened Payette Brewing in 2011. He says the volume of beverages he produces has stayed mostly the same in recent years, but it's not all beer anymore.
Our cocktails are now about, I want to say 15% of our volume, whereas 3 years ago it was zero.
Payette's responded to market changes by partnering with Colorado's Upslope Brewing. Payette beer will ultimately be brewed in Colorado. Payette will produce canned cocktails in Boise. The two brands will distribute beer and cocktails in both states.
The market's changing. If you're not changing, you're going to be in a bad spot. So what can we do?
Watson from the Brewers Association says those kind of partnerships are still rare but expected to grow as brewing operations making less beer than they used to look for ways to keep their tanks full. Colin Rudin is CEO and founder of community-owned Boise Brewing. His frustrations go beyond encroachment from trendy drinks like canned cocktails.
It feels like we're seeing less local support as well. Like when you go to a restaurant, 5-8 years ago, there was probably half the handles or more that were local, and now it's more like 30-40% local handles.
To be fair, Boise Brewing has its own restaurant. Several other breweries do as well. Craft beer drinkers are more educated now, says Hayden Beverage President Andy Mitchell, less forgiving of what they don't like and more discerning consumers as inflation has tightened wallets.
Maybe it's a time to be a little bit more conservative, make really high quality products that are really good value. And when I say value, I don't mean cheap. It's not about price, it's about value for price.
Rudin says Boise Brewing wants to do just that, focusing on its core beers and not chasing trends. He hopes discerning drinkers remember that buying local is the only way to ensure local breweries survive.
We've got 8 medals for nationally regarded competitions. So if you're talking quality and consistency, I can't speak to the industry as a whole, but for us, it's there.
Recently purchasing its own canning line will help Boise Brewing's margins, he says. But other breweries have found value in staying small. Bree Hovely co-owns Barbarian Brewing in Garden City. 95% of their beer is sold in their 2 tap rooms, which she says has allowed them to focus on quality and stay nimble as consumer tastes change.
We've always been pivoting, but it was hard when we started realizing our barrel-aged sour program was shifting because these are beers that have been sitting here for years. And now we're trying to pivot, but not waste or lose products.
She says the biggest pain point in Barbarian sales comes from ongoing construction in downtown Boise. Despite the headwinds, there remains an optimism around craft beer. The Brewers Association is helping breweries diversify their beverage offerings. It might be painful for some, but it's a normal competitive market now, says the BA's Watson.
This is not a bubble bursting. Craft brewers aren't going anywhere, but they are going to have to adapt to a new era, rising costs, increasing competition, and drinker preferences, which are always changing as they always have.
And back in the hop fields, Gooding says they'll push through the changes too.
You have to be mindful of the acreage and the hop stocks and, you know, really being smart and strategic as an industry and as a business. There's definitely some new stuff coming though, and I think that's exciting for the industry.
Harvest might be slower this year, but brewers are still showing up excited to pick up unprocessed fresh hops for special beers they only brew this time of year. Drinkers should start seeing those on taps and store shelves in a week or two. Troy Oppie, Boise State Public Radio News.
And Troy is joining us now to talk more about this. Hi, Troy.
Hi, Gemma.
So what other things did you hear from local venue owners as they continue to deal with these changes in their industry?
Yeah, I mean, costs are going up. Bear Island Brewing's Beth Bechtel told me her inputs have tripled, and they're kind of hustling and making some changes in terms of how they attract customers. And that's true for, bars and restaurant venues, too. They're trying to do more trivia nights. They're trying to be more attractive to people who get them into their venue for, you know, something beyond a beverage, right? And, uh-huh. You know, on the brewery side, they're having to hustle to keep sales the same as they were before. They're having to work harder for those.
So here's something I found interesting is that they're also worried about dry January, which I guess would make sense.
Yeah, so this is kind of the social push towards take a month off, let your body recover from the holidays and from whatever else, and don't drink alcohol during dry January. There are several other variations of this. Sober September is one that some mm-hmm. people are doing right now. Dry January last year, I've heard this from multiple breweries and multiple bars, it was much slower than in years past. And there isn't necessarily a direct rhyme or reason to that beyond more promotion in social circles of taking a month off from drinking. One interesting note was Bree Hovely, the owner of Barbarian Brewing. She said, you know, we really saw sales dip in January. And then when people came back and started drinking in February, many of them kind of forgot how to act. And they had some problems with overconsumption and people behaving badly. And she's like, can we just even this out? That would be great.
Yeah, learn how to just drink mindfully. So yeah. another issue breweries have been dealing with, and this is really interesting, this is the cost of wastewater. Something apparently that the city of Boise says the brewers weren't necessarily charged appropriately for. So can you tell us a little bit about this?
Right. So this is a separate story, but obviously connected, that I did a couple weeks ago. The city of Boise, as multiple breweries started coming on about 10 years ago now, was connecting these facilities to the wastewater system. And as the city says, its folks learned more about the process of brewing and the amount of water used in brewing, which can be a multiple 8-to-1 water to finished beer. It kind of varies depending on how efficient breweries are. The city realized it hadn't really charged these businesses appropriately to connect to the system. And so they had gone back and they were trying to make it fair and balance out these fees. But breweries facing, in some cases, $70,000 bills said that, well, that will pretty much bankrupt us. And so we need to figure out, you know, something different. And this isn't really fair because we paid what you told us to pay at the time when you told us to pay it. The city understood that and backed off the arrears billing, if you want to call it that, and said, okay, we're resetting. We're going to establish usage rates based on your 2023 production volume, and we're going to go forward from there. And the brewery said, okay, that's fine. We can do that. But those rates are going up next month. The city has kind of recalculated everything, for the first time since 2014, and the rates are going up quite a bit. So 34% is what they said. But that's, you know, breweries are willing to pay for what they use, right? They all want it to be good stewards. The folks I talked to, they said, we want to be good stewards. We want to be responsible. But, you know, don't make us pay for what you told us before was the right amount. And now you say it's the wrong amount. So everybody's happy that situation got resolved and they're moving forward. But for a time, there were many breweries who were quite worried that a bill like that could push some over the edge.
Well, as always, Troy, so appreciate you reporting on this. We've been speaking with our Troy Oppy, reporter and host of All Things Considered, discussing how local breweries and hop growers are adjusting to a slowing craft beer market. Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
The candidates for November are set.
I know Donald Trump's type.
Between now and Election Day.
We are not going back.
A campaign season unfolding faster.
Kamala Harris is not getting a promotion.
Than any in recent history.
Make America great again.
Follow it all with new episodes every weekday on the NPR Politics Podcast.